meeting of the new year. If anybody's on the phone, please speak up.
No one's on.
I'll just turn that off in a minute here. We'll give people about 5 minutes to call in. Reminder to the public that the meeting's being recorded. Are there any comments on non-agenda items? Anything on the consent agenda a trustee would like pulled for discussion? Can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, Cheryl?
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Nick?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Okay, Nick, this is the synopsis for your signature. Come back this way when you're done with it. Okay, moving on to the regular agenda. Bids for ambulance billing services. Jason, any update on that?
Yeah, so I followed up with the contact that Nick had given me, and I'll send around, everybody take a copy of the email that I sent out, which I sent, I think, either a day or 2 days after the last meeting, which was December 17th. And I got no response from this company. The company is not based in Billings, Montana. They're actually out of Texas. And so if you read my email, I was pretty clear about what we were looking for. And my guess is that when they saw that we were only going to do 100 transports in a year, they elected to not answer my email. So there you have it. That's our status.
Okay. So then we're back to Pintler billing, which seems like a totally reasonable option to proceed with. And just like any other vendor, we'll evaluate them every year and decide whether or not we want to renew their contract. Is there board discussion on Pintler billing?
I guess I would say that to me, it looks like a viable option that the department should pursue. And we're obviously only obligated for 1 year of service. And it seems very clear to me, unless I'm missing something, that there aren't any hidden fees. It's a pretty straightforward percentage.
It wasn't a year, was it? Was there a year contract?
I think it's a year. And so, you know, I guess I don't see any negatives associated with that bid, and given the fact that we didn't receive any other bids, we are committed to pursuing this transport service, that it makes sense to accept that bid.
More discussion, Justin.
I like that it's a Montana company. They're in Billings. We can go see someone face-to-face.
Eureka.
So we can go see someone face-to-face if we had to. But
any more board comment? Okay, is there a motion?
I've got a motion.
Let's hear it.
I make a motion that we accept Pintler Billing's contract and try them out for a year.
Second.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Nick?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yep. Okay. Thanks for running that down, Jason.
Yep.
We're now on to ambulance purchase. So that's you again.
Yeah. And on a side note to that, I made a visit to Red Lodge Fire last week to look at one of their ambulances, which is almost exactly like what we put out to bid for, and yet another fire department has said Pintler billing is the way to go. So I just haven't talked to anybody that doesn't really, really like Pintler billing. Okay, so we put out the RFP for the ambulance, and I have copies of it if anybody wants to actually look at the RFP. It's pretty boring, but and we received three bids. Two of the bids are actually from the same distributor, which is Sawtooth Ambulances. And then the third is from Apgar Ambulances. The distributors that we received bids from are all Montana-based dealers or vendors. So there isn't any issue with that. So to give a short summary is one of the units that was bid was an ambulance company called Medix. And in general, Medix is a pretty low-end ambulance company. And I've spoken with a number of fire departments in Montana that use Medix ambulances. And they're a pretty inexpensively built ambulance. And the price certainly is reflected in that. Their bid was at $92,000 for that. But again, I don't recommend us going with that company just because they don't have the strong reputation that these other two have. So Sawtooth also bid an Osage ambulance, which is the manufacturer. Their bid came out at $102,000. And then the final bid was from Apgar, which is a Demers ambulance, which is a Canadian company. And their bid came out at $103,789. So the two bids that I believe we should consider are the Osage at $102,000 and the Demers at $103,789. There's a little bit of difference in the bids that all could be worked out. The Osage didn't include the same cardiac slide-out drawer for the monitor that we had in the bid, and so these numbers are still a little subject to fluctuation. At this moment, I have only laid hands and driven a Demers, which Red Lodge has three of. So Colin Prado and I went over last Friday, and they were kind enough and generous enough to let us drive it, ride in the back of it, push, pull, and tug on all of it. We liked it a ton. The Osage, I haven't gotten to look at one. That company, the closest one is in Forsyth, which is Rosebud Ambulance Service. So I'm trying to this Friday go look at that one. What I would ask of the board to avoid further delay on this is to give me the authority to choose whichever one of these two that we see is the best value for the fire district, given that the prices are so close. The prices came out, I think I estimated to you guys $120,000 to $130,000. The reason these bids came out lower is because we got that grant for the cot loading system and the cots, so that took a big chunk of money off these. I see all these as great pricing on an ambulance for our fire district. We're just trying to get down to the nitty-gritty of wiring and cabinetry and all the things that differentiate the two. I can tell you that Red Lodge, owning three Demers, and I find Red Lodge Fire Department to be a pretty squared away organization with a full-time EMS chief. They just could not say enough good stuff about Demers. But then again, I talked to Rosebud and their ambulance director, who worked with Mike Maltivern for years in North Dakota, for South Dakota, for Rapid City. He was a medic and firefighter. He had nothing but good things to say about Osage, too. But there are some differences. What we really liked about the Demers is all the typical ambulance cabinetry is plywood with the Formica glued onto it. The problem with that is if you go look at our QRUs, it just chips and breaks, and then you have wood exposed. Demers uses all aluminum cabinetry, and it's really well done. But to be fair, I want to drive to Forsyth and do the same thing I did with the Demers. So in the end, I'm just asking the board to kind of give me the authority to make the final decision on which one of these two that we go with. And that's my recommendation.
Do you want a dollar figure? Like, is it going to go up from this $103,789?
It could go up, it could go down.
Okay.
But it's going to be, these are going to be very small changes in the ambience. I know for a fact that with the Demers in this bid, in the bench seat, they have shelving that accepts portable D-cylinder oxygen bottles, and I don't want that. I want the full. So that's going to save us money to get rid of that piece. There'll be a final negotiation where we sit down with whatever vendor that we choose to work with to go through and make sure there's nothing we're missing in there. But it shouldn't be any high dollar changes. It's not going to go from $103,000 to $120,000.
Okay. Board questions for the chief?
On the Demirs, have they had to have any service work performed on those vehicles? And if they have, do you have to, does it involve communications with Canada or what are the logistics?
So that's one nice thing is that, APGAR Ambulances, which is based out of Kalispell, they have mobile techs and mechanics that come do the service work. So they come here and do the service work for me. Sawtooth claims the same. I just haven't been able to talk to anybody that's utilized it. I know that Red Lodge has said that that's a really nice thing.
We're talking about oil changes?
No. Just you have an electrical issue in the ambulance with something that has to do with not the Ford wiring that's inherent to the actual vehicle, but what they wired the ambulance together with. A lot of times, Chris or Colin will be back there like, I don't know how to fix this, and under warranty. But they have, and they go through in the bid what they have. And they also have loaner ambulances. So if your ambulance is out of service for an extended period of time, they'll give you a loaner unit to use.
How about a warranty difference between the two?
It's pretty much all the same. Yeah, it's very industry standard, which is 3 years. It's very industry standard. You get the chassis warranty, which is just the Ford piece of it.
Yeah.
And then the ambulance warranty.
Nice.
Board questions? Nick or JJ?
My kind of feeling is if you don't want to drive all the way to Forsyth, and it sounds like you like the Demirs, I mean, that's a due diligence step that's,
I just think, I think, reading through both bid specs and talking to, Big Sky, they don't use the van style ambulance. They use the kind of still the big box mod, but they use Osage. Central Valley uses Osage. They both like them. And I really think in order to make the right decision, I'd like to touch all the cabinets, look at all the wiring, look at the fuse panels. And because a lot of it, and that's why I've been taking Colin with me, is because he does the maintenance work. And, I want his perspective on this will be, this maintenance panel here and the way that, how much space there is for radios, because, the radios, it's just a head that goes in, but the actual radio itself has to be mounted somewhere in there. And I really, all those things play into, how we can pick the best one.
Okay, and so you asked the board for, restate what you'd like from us.
Yeah, what I would appreciate is for the board just to give me the authority to make the final decision so we don't have to have another board meeting about
do,
this.
Do you want it not to exceed $105,000 or do you want...
That would be more of a board decision to say if you're going to get above $105,000, you got to come back and talk to us.
Okay, let's do that. That's fine.
How's that sound, everybody?
Yeah, that works just fine.
Mr. Chairman... In deference to Chief Ravisky's particular psychosis for kicking tires and touching things as it relates to vehicles, I would move that the board gives him authority to enter into an agreement for either of the two vehicles described not to exceed $105,000 without returning to the board.
Any board discussion on the motion? Public comment on the motion? Sorry, Justin. Public comment on the motion?
I love it.
Okay. Justin?
Second.
Okay. You got a motion on the floor. All those.
Joe? JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Nick?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
And to go back, Justin, or Walt, just to answer your question more appropriately, Red Lodge has had problems with one of their ambulances. And it was the one that was built on the Mercedes Sprinter chassis. It had nothing to do with the ambulance manufacturer. It all had to do with the emission system on the diesel motor. And that's why they went from the Sprinter to the Transit. It's just, There's only two Mercedes dealers in Montana, and that's Missoula and Billings. And so they said that once they got to about 70,000 miles, the ambulance spent more time on a flatbed going to Billings to try to figure out, because it goes into limp mode. Mm-hmm. And it's all because of the emission systems on the diesel motor. And it's very, yeah, they just said, we're not doing this ever again. So these are all gasoline engines on these. We're not doing diesel. I just want to make sure I fully answered
your question. Yeah, we had talked yet, and I forgot to bring that up. Yeah, we had talked.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing all the due diligence, Jason. Sounds like it's moving forward.
Yep.
Good place.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Okay, bond refi. Well, it sounds like
Well, Cheryl had a communication with Bridget that about, you said 4:30 or something like that. So, but the information that she provided is that Friday the packets will go out to the banks to get basically bids from the banks on rates. So really no update of substance.
Okay. She stated too that the resolution should be ready for
February. Right. Yeah, I forgot to mention that part. That by February there will be some board action that will have to occur once they get the rate information back from the banks that submit bids.
Okay, so it sounds like we'll just wait and see what happens in February.
That's correct.
Good. Okay. Fire chief's evaluation.
This is audit service.
I'm sorry, the audit service, which I just drew a line through. Had myself here. Audit service. Is that you, Ms. Cheryl?
Sure. I forwarded a letter that was used in 2018 when we sent out an RFP for audit services. So I just kind of highlighted dates and just some guidance from the board if they want me to go kind of follow the same schedule and send out. I checked with the state of Montana. They had an updated roster of firms that are allowed to do audits, and there's six from the Bozeman area. So my plan was just to send the RFP out to the Bozeman area firms. And so I think that's it. Just guidance from the board if this is how they want me to proceed.
And so I assume our accountant can't do our audit, right?
It's good to have a separation. Yeah.
Any board comments on that? Sounds pretty straightforward. Send out an RFP, see what we get back, make a decision.
We've been using the same company the last few years.
Sydney.
Well, we do three year increments.
Okay.
Yeah, is typically what we've done.
Okay.
And there's nothing that precludes her from bidding again, too.
Right. She would be somebody I would send the RFP to again.
Okay. That's it. Chief's evaluation. I think in your packet, in your packet, you have a list of questions. And the purpose of this being an agenda item is just as you recall, I've been a proponent of the chief's evaluation just being a real area for continuous improvement, making sure that we're getting the information that we want and then transmitting to the chief so that's helpful. And so we did some changes, as I recall, to last year's evaluation. And the purpose of bringing this forward to you again is just to say, board members, how did you like it? Do you want to see something different? You will recall, I think, one substantial change that we made. Jason suggested a different survey tool for the volunteer firefighters, which I think makes a ton of sense. And so that's where we are. Is this the tool we'd like to use again, or would we like it modified? And if so, how? Jason, do you want to say anything about the evaluation from your perspective?
No, I think it was good that we changed what we sent out to the firefighters to make sure we were just right, asking the right questions from the right people, but otherwise, no.
So with that, it's open for board discussion.
I do have a quick question on the questions for the board. Are we going to go just with a binary response, unacceptable or outstanding, or is it still going to be a range?
It was ranged from last year, 1 to 5.
Okay, so we'll continue with.
It was a Likert scale, so I recall. Nick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is it on?
Yep.
Seems to me when we talked some about it before, maybe I brought it up and wondered about, it seems like, I guess I'm wondering about the thought that each year the chief outlines goals, what they expect to do or he or she expects to do during that year, and then respond to the evaluation, how those goals are achieved. And I don't know that I see that directly in this, maybe inherent in these questions, but just glancing at it, I didn't see that. I just wondered if that's something worth considering.
Yeah, I remember that conversation. I think that's absolutely worth considering. What, you know, we can do that any number of different ways. Jason could list his top priorities for the year as part of the evaluation.
And you know, what happened last year. Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable.
What happened last year, so we could just stick that at the top of the evaluation. Did you do that last year? I can't remember.
I don't think I did, but I do think it's a good idea. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Any board discussion about that? So the sense of the chair is that we think that's a good idea if you just add that into your goals. And it sounds like to me that everything else is workable for another year. All the questions, nobody wants to modify the questions that we're asking.
I don't have anything.
Yeah. And again, this is just something I think is important for us to look at every year and see if it's meeting our needs and the chief's. And as I recall, Cheryl, you set this up electronically. People take an anonymous poll.
Survey Monkey or something.
Survey Monkey.
Okay. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
It's public comment.
Public comment.
Michael, volunteer. I think adding that goals is great, and also making sure it's publicized too, if you guys agree on them, let the whole department know. The one change I think would be beneficial, since we're a high turnover organization, is changing question 9 on the volunteers questionnaire to be different ranges. First one would be, I don't know, 0 to 2 years, then 3 to 5, and 5 plus. There's just not a lot of people who are in the 5 to 10. Category or 10 plus. So I think if you want to get some useful information about that, you change that to kind of match our current demographic. That's all I have.
Thank you. Anything else on chief's evaluation? Okay, we have a new chart of calls here for the chief's report. And again, this is one of those continuous improvement processes. We want to make sure we're gathering information that is useful to the board and not overly burdensome to the staff. So, questions on the chief's report? Chief, did you have any highlight you wanted to bring out?
You know, I think the only highlight is just to point out, and we've spoken about this in the past, is if you just look at the differences in the number of transports and EMS calls just in these 3 months, you just see the great variation that's there. And there's no predicting it. You know, when I was down in Big Sky, it was pretty easy to predict when we were going to be busy and when we weren't, because we were busy in the winter. We were slow in the off seasons, and we were a little busy in the summer, but nothing like the winter. Here, it's very unpredictable when we're busy and when we're not, and which calls will be transports and which ones won't. So I think it's also you know, worth noting how few echo calls we get, which are the most significant, the most serious of all call types, and how most of our calls kind of fall into that Bravo and Charlie category.
One thing I would like, I think it'd be helpful for the public, is if in the types of calls cell that you've got that typed in, you describe what A through E is, alpha through echo.
It's so hard to describe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it simply an escalation?
It's not that simple. It's all through the CAD system, and it's I don't know, dozens of different parameters that through their questioning process that assigns a, that determinant code to it.
Symptoms, loss of consciousness.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest thing is really to describe it as A is the least serious call, and E is the most, and everything else kind of...
That would be perfect.
Yeah, somehow falls in between.
Just for somebody looking at this on our website.
Agreed.
You know,
yeah.
I have no idea what it means.
Chief, of the Delta calls, are those primarily traffic collisions?
No.
No, what are they?
No, they could be anything. I mean, if someone has chest pain, it's almost always a Delta. What we kind of been, back of the napkin looking at is how many of our Delta calls actually are ALS calls. Very few. Very few are actually turn out. Now, if you asked our medical control, he would say that all Deltas are ALS responses. And again, in our plan, that's exactly how we're going to do it. But it's amazing. And then the echoes, believe it or not, very few echoes, and because the only echo call we really go to is cardiac arrest. And believe it or not, there's very little that ALS can do that BLS can't in that condition. So it is interesting.
Board discussion.
So the only follow-up I have on the chief's report is I'm having a bear of a time coming up with a way to do our EMT refresher that we do every year, given COVID conditions. And I've really been trying to figure out the most clever way to do it. And it appears that the best way to do it is to do a blend of virtual and in-person training, splitting the group up so we don't have the same group here, and also creating a condition where they don't have to be in front of the computer for 2 days in a row. But in order to do that, I need to invest in some technical equipment. And I certainly have it in my budget to do, and I'm not even so much asking your permission, but what I'm gonna throw the idea to you is if I buy a slightly nicer camera system to mount on the wall up here, you guys could have some pretty amazing video board meetings that people could use Zoom or another platform. The camera I'm looking at, you can control with a remote control. And so as one board member is speaking, I can be looking at a computer and zoom in on that board member and have a really nice mic system in here. I don't have to do a lot of research on it because Patrick Lonergan in emergency management has really outfitted their meeting room, and that's where they have all the health department meetings and all that stuff. So I know the equipment works and I know it's good, but it's a couple thousand dollars worth of equipment. But I think it could potentially make your board meetings for those who might want to watch as well as listen. We could get double use for that investment.
Okay, before we go there, let's just make sure the chief's report, nobody had any questions on that. Is this getting the information that board members are interested in?
Looks nice.
Yeah, I think it looks good. I do have one question on the chief's report with regard to item 4 and the COVID issue that you brought up. So what is the status? I know Brian was in the paper the other day, but so how many inoculations have occurred throughout the department?
Everybody who wants one has gotten their first
dose,
first vaccine.
Okay, so some of this may not become as much of an issue as we move forward then.
Yeah, and honestly, we were talking about it just today. Even though we haven't been doing the Cottonwood staffing, mm-hmm. there really hasn't been any negative impact on our delivery of service.
Okay, so that hasn't been a constraint.
The nice thing is this station, with a couple exceptions like Black Bear Spur Road and some of the houses up there, everything on the south side is within 5 miles. Highlight Foothills is within 5 miles. And that's the gold standard in emergency response, is that a fire station should be within 5 miles of any resident that it's servicing. So, we just really haven't seen any great loss of service not doing those station nights. It's made us kind of scratch our head about.
I see that they took down the sign. Are you guys going across the bridge?
Yeah, they repaired it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's still all dirt, but I didn't.
Yeah. But they fortified it in some kind of meaningful way.
Yeah, they did.
That made some engineer happy.
Right. They did Cottonwood and the crossing on my way.
Yeah.
Nick, did you have a question on the reporting?
Well, I'm very pleased. This is on and off.
I think you're off.
On?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pleased to see the spreadsheet or the matrix, and I appreciate, Mr. Chairman, your comments about A, B, C, D, and E, because I think I look at this and say, what does the public see here? I'm not sure that the public would get the idea that you include motor vehicle accidents. So I guess I would second your suggestion that we try to make this table as clear as possible to the public. Maybe A, B, C, D, and E have a range of two or three types of calls that might be within that. It's difficult when what I understand is A and B is non-life threatening, C is that in-between thing, and D and E are life threatening, and that typically is D and E or ALS and the other BLS. I know that seems to be overkill for what I think the public would really like to know what those are, because those are real evidence terms. The other thing I would try to do here, and I'm not sure I understand exactly, it looks like they match, but the information on this report must tie, I think, some way with this report. And this report has codes for certain kinds of calls. And so if I add up the types of calls, I have 22, and I look up here in transports, show 22. And so I'm wondering if these are, well, again, I don't know what, these are all this highlight stuff. So is highlight backing up AMR, or we change the run card? Is AMR being used at all, or are there still things going on here? Because I
no, nothing. Nothing's changed. These are all AMR transports.
These are all what?
AMR transports.
These are AMR transports.
Yeah.
Now, see, that isn't clear to me. This is your report. I thought these are all HRFD part.
No.
It doesn't sound
no, right. These are just the transports that we do. That's the tracking that you guys wanted, is the number of transports that occur every month.
By highlight or by AMR?
By anybody. They're just the total number of transports.
And so,
I mean, once we stand up our model, then it's a whole different story. Then.
So what you're telling me is that these are all transports that come through 911?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so maybe that's what needs to be on here for somebody in the public looking at it, because I assume that this was just perhaps highlight, or maybe...
It is highlight. These are highlight fire department calls.
So in October, highlight did 12 transports.
There were 12 transports done in the Highlight Rural Fire District.
Done in the Highlight Rural Fire District.
Yes.
Got it. But not necessarily by our department.
No.
Could have been AMR.
So that's a clarification. I think it would be nice to have that these numbers are transports in this district by these entities. Some are Highlight RFD, I guess, and some of them are AMR, and you do. The difference is who does what isn't listed, but at least I think the impression people could get that this was all AMR, correct? Well, I thought it was all Highlight Rural Fire District. I didn't,
no.
Came in this report, I didn't see that it was all 911. That would be a...
I would have definitely highlighted to the board if we did 22 transports in the month of December. That would have been definitely a highlight.
Well, that seems a lot, but if I look over here on the Highlight Fire Department thing, I think you add these up on...
Well, this is just 1 month. The pie chart is just 1 month. And it says at the top the start and end dates.
I'm looking at the type of calls for December, and I add up the ones A, B, C, D. There is no E, and that's 22. I go up to the transport for December. There are 22 calls. Is that a coincidence, or the ones down below A, B, C, D, E are highlights, or these are all 911 and some are highlights and some are AMR?
You lost me.
Well, I have lost it.
Yeah.
So here's
we have 22 types of calls in December, the types of calls out of the 22. Up here in the transports, that's adds up to 22. Are those two numbers driven by each other, or are they supposed to be the same number?
Yeah, it just separates the transports into the Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, okay. Echo.
And so those 22 that we're doing, some may be highlight, and some may be AMR. We don't know how much of each.
Correct.
But they're the 911 calls in this area.
Correct.
So that would be the header on this, or
no? Yeah, well, I mean, we can put a header saying highlight fire district EMS activity.
Right.
Yeah, that's easy
transport
enough.
Transport activity.
Well, no, because this includes EMS calls. The top cell is.
Well, EMS and transport, because you have both up there. You have 31 EMS and you have 22 transport.
Well, there's 31. No, it's the same calls. Look at December. And there were 31 EMS calls. Out of that 31, 22 ended up being transports. They're not separate calls.
And then there was 9 refusals. If correct. You add 22 plus 9, that's 31.
Yeah.
Well, I think we owe it to everybody to make these numbers as clear as possible of what they are and where they're from.
So I think
it's headers and columns.
I agree with you, Nick, and now I have I think was a pretty straightforward solution. So you have the first column, EMS calls including MVAs. Then the next two columns, if you just indent them, mm-hmm. right? I think it should be clear of those EMS calls, 22 were transported, 9 were not, and then it will sum with the Alpha through Echo. And I really would like on the type of calls, just the general description, most severe to less severe, I think is perfectly fine for the public. They can get that. But I can see that is a little confusing, and for the public, we ought to try to make it as easy to understand as possible. Okay, anything else on that? I want to go back to the video request. I'm totally fine with Chief. I think that makes a ton of sense. But my question is, if we wanted to expand to video board meetings, which we talked about in the past, Cheryl, what does that mean? Do we have to go to Zoom and buy a whole bunch of Zoom subscriptions? Do you know what that means?
I think we would.
Yeah. Okay, it's not terribly expensive
okay.
to get the kind of the base.
Right. I'm fine with you.
Yeah.
And other board members can chip in too on buying that camera. But let's just do a little research on that, Cheryl, and see what it would cost. I mean, I'm not opposed to just going forward and videoing every meeting, even when we get past COVID.
Can we record with a DVD?
Yes.
I'm sure there's a way to do that.
I think it'd be nice to have that as well, just being able to, someone could check out a DVD, or if someone wants one burned or something for them, they don't cost that much. Or...
Yeah, we can record. I know you can record the meetings on Zoom.
Yeah.
And archive them up on the website. Another thing, too, if you just take a look at our privacy policies and all that kind of stuff, we all know the stories about creepy stuff happening with videos. Obviously not during a board meeting with the august representation that we have here. But who knows what happened at 2 in the morning in the dark bowels of the Highlight Fire Department on video. So just take a look at that and yep. see if that gives you any pause or any concerns.
Okay.
That'd be great. Any more board comment on the Chief's video camera solution to training?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Really important to keep that training going if we can. Yeah.
So the camera is primarily a training aid. It can't have other uses for the board. But it's
yeah, I mean, the reason that we're looking at it is, yeah, because, you know, in order, the way we've done EMT refreshers in the past, there's been 60, 70 people in the building. And we just can't do that right now. It's just not feasible. And we have to do these refreshers so that people get their continuing education hours to keep recertifying as EMT. So it's important that we do it. And it seems to be the only way we can really do it effectively.
Okay, any public comment on the chief's report? All right, we're at trustee activities.
Not necessarily an activity, but I'm remiss in not in the consent and the thing. But I got to looking at the fire policy, and I noticed in the fire policy that four entities are still named as other named insured: Ray Fire Service Area, Sourdough Rural Fire District, Sourdough Firefighters Association, and Ray Volunteer Fire Company. And do those identities still exist? And then I think in this policy, we're still carrying at least two different places they are listing those people as other named insured. And I just, it's just a cleanup thing, and I don't think that matters a lot, but it might be something I want to look at. So sorry for not breaking up, sir.
Okay, so then we're at the next board meeting. I got it as February 16th, Tuesday. Is that going to work for folks?
I'm not going to be here on the 16th.
I look forward to Assistant Chief Nikolai juggling and singing in your absence. Does that work for everybody else?
Yep.
I'm trying to get there.
Okay, well, you're looking at your phone, Nick. We'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.